Hat or no hat, what do most people do?
Sorry about thinking. I have to redo this, something's wrong. Give me a minute. Yud Zayin Adar Aleph, Friday the 22nd of February, Rabbi David Tugendhat, Aaron, the reincarnation of Harlan.
The reincarnation of Harlan. Okay. Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be back to Northwest London, Teruwe. Shalom Uvrocha. Thank you so much for joining us. Aaron HaKohen, in this week's parsha, is not just slightly involved in the Egel HaZohov, but he is pretty much the architect of the Egel HaZohov. What Bezalel was to the Mishkan, Aaron HaKohen seemingly was to the Egel HaZohov. And yet, we find that seemingly he's untainted by this. We find when he's not allowed into Eretz Yisrael, it's to do with Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's no Kiddush Hashem, and the Mei Merivah. But the Egel HaZohov is not mentioned at all. How are we supposed to understand the involvement of the great Aaron HaKohen in the Egel HaZohov? The Pasuk tells us in Divrei Yomim Aleph, Pasuk Chav Gimel, B'nei Amram Aaron v'Moshe, that Amram had two sons, v'yavdel Aaron l'agdishai kodesh kodoshim, that he was chosen to be the Holy of Holies, who v'on avad olam, to this very day. All Kohanim are descendants of Aaron HaKohen. In fact, they found a Kohen gene a few years ago. People who are involved in genetics, they found that in all Kohanim, they have this gene, a part of them which is still a continuation in their guf of Aaron HaKohen, lehaktiv lifnei Hashem, lesharos lavarch b'shmei ad olam. Seemingly, he's totally untainted by the fact that he did the Egel HaZohov. But we know, of course, that he was so involved in the Egel HaZohov, as we're told in this week's parasha, Vayar ha'om ki beishesh Moshe l'arenes min ha'har, that they saw that Moshe wasn't coming down. Vayakel ha'om al Aaron, they all came to Aaron, they said to him, Kum asei lonu Elohim asheyel chulafoneinu, make us a god. Because Moshe lo yodanu mehoyolonu, we've got no idea where he is. So Aaron said, Pirkun is me'azov asher bozlein asheichem b'neichem v'neiseichem, V'hoviyu Eli, bring me all of your trinkets, all of your jewelry. And they took off their jewelry that was in their ears. They brought it to him. He took it. V'yotzar oisei b'choret. He took an engraving implement. V'yaseyu egel maseicha. And he made this graven calf. V'yomer. And they said, Ele Elohecha Yisrael asher eluchem Eretz Mitzrayim. This is the God that took you up from Eretz Mitzrayim. Astonishing. Yes. How Aaron HaKohen, the great Aaron HaKohen, was so involved in the Egel HaZohov. So I'd like to share.
They would have killed him, otherwise.
Yeah, true, they would have killed him. But you know what? Let me ask you. There are three averus that you're not allowed to, that you should normally. We say Pekuach Nefesh is doing for everything. Pekuach Nefesh, they're going to kill me. I have to eat some treif. I have to wear some shandas. Chas v'shalom. But the three cardinal sins, the averus chamurais, Gilei Arayis, Shvichas Tom, Aveda Zora, that the cardinals do. So, these ones, we know that Yehorik Vali Abba, a person has to give up their life rather than be involved in these. So yeah, Aaron HaKohen, sure, bring me your trinkets, bring me your Zohov, but leave it to me. I'll have it ready in no time. How are we supposed to understand this? So I'd like to share with you, Be'ezras Hashem.
He wasn't sure he was going to go out anything.
Well, they say they put this tusk, they put this plate in that said, Ali Shur, come up ox, which was the plate, the golden plate, which they had used to bring Yosef HaTzadik's bones out of the Nilus, out of the Nile. So, you know, he knew there was something that was going to happen over here. So I'd like to share with you a fascinating Mahalach, B'Siyata Dishmaya, based on an Arizal. The Arizal tells us the following, and I'm going to quote his words from Shar HaGilgulim HaKdomo Lamed Gimel. He says something absolutely astonishing. Aaron, Gimel Oisius Min Horon. We know that Avram Avinu had a brother Horon, who, when Avram Avinu allowed himself to be thrown into the Kibshon Ha'esh, into the furnace, rather than renounce his faith, Horon was looking at the sidelines. He said, "Ooh, well, let's see how this works out. If Avram Avinu is saved, I'm with him. And if not, I'll be with Nimrod." And he saw not only did Avram Avinu go into the furnace and make this huge Kiddush Hashem, but miraculously, he came out unscathed. So Horon says, "Me too." And he goes in, and he sizzled. It was a big barbecue, and fertig, that was it. He didn't make it out. And the Arizal tells us that Horon has the same three letters that are in Aaron's name. He, Reish, Nun. Just as the difference of the Aleph. Says the Arizal, Aaron, Gimel Oisius Min Horon, he has the three letters from Horon. The Noisafol of Ois Aleph. And yet he has the extra Aleph as well. Ki hu Horon achi Avram. Because Aaron is the same neshama as Horon, the brother of Avram. V'horon bolesaken chet Odom Horishain. Horon came to rectify the sin of Odom Horishain. She'ovad avodozora. That Odom Horishain at that time, by not listening to Hashem, he in a certain bechina was oved avodozora. Not only did Horon not rectify that sin by standing up to idolatry in his own right, but even here in his life of Horon also didn't have total emunah. Right, he didn't have emunah until Avram had emerged from the furnace. And that's why Horon was burnt in Ur Kasdim, and he died there in this fire. And then he was reincarnated in Aaron, and somehow in Aaron's life, there would be a tikkun for the neshama of Horon, who should have himself been mesaken the chait of Odom Orishan, but wasn't. Now, all very well and good to play some word games over here, and to see that Aaron has the three letters of Horon's name, but what is the depth over here that Aaron is connected to Horon, and somehow in his life Aaron was masakan the chait of Horon? Now, how on earth are we supposed to understand it? Question number one, how in fact did he rectify this sin of Horon? It's not like Aaron HaKohen gave up his life so as not to worship idols. Adarabo, he made the idol himself. So in what way did Aaron HaKohen rectify this sin? And number two, question number two, the Arizal reveals to us that it's this Aleph over here, that because Aaron HaKohen has this extra Aleph, in some way, this was the key to him being able to rectify the sin of Horon, and therefore, let us try and analyze and get a deeper understanding into this Arizal and into what is going on over here in the life of Aaron HaKohen, and how somehow he miraculously, using this Aleph, rectifies this sin of Horon. Okay, so far we've seen that there's this connection between them. Let us now have a look at Aaron HaKohen's involvement in the Chet HaEgel. Why in fact did he not give up his life in order not to be involved in the Chet? So, the Pasuk says, immediately after the time of the Egel, in Shmoy Islamid Beis Pasuk Hei, Vayar Aaron, and Aaron saw, Vayiven Mizbeach, and he built a mizbeach lefonov in front of him. Vayikra Aaron. Aaron called out v'im echag laHashem mochor. There'll be a festival of Hashem tomorrow. By the time we build it, there will be this festival. And Rashi brings in the name of a medrash. What was Aaron's motivation? Right. Aaron had seen Chur, the son of Miriam, his nephew. The Chur made a dramatic stand, and he said, "You're not going to worship these idols. You're going to have to kill me first." And they did. And he was willing to give up his life to try and stop Klal Yisrael from worshipping the idol. And that's what it means, Vayiven Mizbeach, when it says Aaron, he built a Mizbeach, the Medrash says that actually you can vowelize these words slightly differently. Vayiven, he understood, Miloshen Bina. Mizovuach, from the person who had been shechted, from the person who had been killed. Vayiven Mizbech, Vayiven Mizovuach. He had understood from the fact that Chur had been killed, and he said, Mutov Sheyisle bi hasirchain v'loy bohem. Better that I am the one who is held accountable for this, and not Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara Sanhedrin Dav Zayin just explains this a little bit more. That if they would have killed him, then he saw that there would have been no tikkun for Klal Yisrael. It would have been game over. They would have reached a point of no return. They'd have done something which would have been so catastrophic that there would have been no redemption from having killed him. The Gemara there says, "Vayar Aaron v'Yivan Mizbech l'fon of Ma Ra'a Omer Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yofes Omer Rabbi Elazar Ra'a Chosha Zevoch l'fon of Omer Ilay Shomano Lahu Hashda Avduli Ka'avdu Bechor." They're going to do the same to me as they do to him. And then the Gemara there critically quotes a posuk from Echo Perik Beis, posuk Kaf, Im Yahorig B'Migdash Hashem Koyin V'Novi. The posuk says that will they kill in the sanctuary of Hashem a Kohen and a prophet? So he saw that they already killed Chur. If they kill him, the Kohen as well, then there won't be any tikkun for such a thing. Efshe havyelahu takanto b'tshuva, will they be able to come back? So what Aaron did was this most epic self-sacrifice, that he said, better I should be the one who is considered to have done something which is wrong, rather than Klal Yisrael. In fact, as a result of this, we find the most astonishing medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Yud Gimel, that not only is he not held accountable for making the Egel, but it was because of this that he actually merited to become the Kohen Gadol. The medrash says, it's quoting a pasuk in Tehillim, Perik Mem Hei, Ohavto Tzedek, Vatisno resha al kein meshochacha elikim elikecha shemen soso in mecha veirecha. It says you loved righteousness and you hated evil. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has anointed you with this special oil that you should become Kohen Gadol, and therefore you can rejoice even greater than all of your friends. The Medrash over here astonishingly says, Omar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Aaron, you loved righteousness to vindicate my children. Klal Yisrael, each and every one of us is the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You hated evil. You didn't want them to become, to be chayev. Al kein meshochach elikim reikecho. Amrei chayecho shemekol shivtoi shalevi leinivcha lakona gadoila elo ato. This was the winning save, so to speak. This was the reason that he actually became Kohen Gadol, is because he was willing to give up everything in order to save Klal Yisrael from this terrible, terrible punishment which they could have had. So the Medrash tells us that's the reason that he became the Kohen Gadol. Now, the Chasam Sofer gives us a new definition of Mesiras Nefesh. Normally, when we speak of Mesiras Nefesh, we think of a person who is willing to give up their life to serve Hashem. He says that actually that would be considered Mesiras Guf. What is Mesiras Nefesh? Mesiras Nefesh is the ultimate sacrifice. Mesiras Nefesh is saying, in order to try and do a good thing for Klal Yisrael, even if I lose my whole Olam Haba, I'm willing to do it for the sake of Klal Yisrael, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now don't try this at home. This is very, very, very dangerous, a very, very risky strategy to actually say, I will give up everything for you, Hashem. I love you so much, I want to protect Klal Yisrael so much, that I'm willing to give up Olam Hazeh v'Olam Habo in order to serve you. This, says the Chasam Sofer, is a real Mesiras Nefesh. And we find there are stories of tzaddikim over the generations who are willing to give up their Olam Haba to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If this is what it takes, I'll be willing to give up my whole Olam Haba to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with this idea of Mesiras Nefesh and not Mesiras Guf, the Chasam Sofer explains the actions of Aaron HaKohen. He says that surely Avodah Zorah is Yehorek Vali Ava. One should give up one's life for this. So he says, yes, Aaron HaKohen chose not to fulfill the mitzvah of Yehorek Vali Ava over here. He chose not to allow himself to be killed for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And this was the ultimate sacrifice of Mesiras, literally Mesiras Nefesh. The Chasam Sofer brings a similar scenario in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Zayin. There the Gemara tells us, Bikesh David la Veda Veda Zora, that Aaron HaKohen is not the only one who had this desire to worship idols and be involved over here in the Chet HaEgel. David wanted to worship Aveda Zora. What's going on? David HaMelech, the sweet singer of Klal Yisrael, who ordered Sefer Tehillim, Shiris V'Sishpachos, all of a sudden he had this Chapta Taiva to worship Aveda Zora. Says the Gemara, Finei Likrosei Chushi HaErki, one of his confidants said, how can it be that you're about to worship idols? They'll say a king like you, someone who's so beloved for Klal Yisrael, should worship idols. He said like this. He said, if my son, who is trying to kill me, I have a son who's trying to kill me. If people think that I'm such a tzaddik, and they see my son is trying to kill me, then they'll say, you know what, where is the justice in this? If I worship an idol, if I'm obeyed of Avodah Zorah, they'll say, yeah, you know why his kid wanted to kill him? Ah, he was an Avarian! He was an obeyed of Avodah Zorah! And therefore, this will, so to speak, protect the honor of Hashem, because they will see less injustice in the world. Well, see, he had it coming to him. Of course his son killed him. Hashem let it happen because he was an idolater, an Oved Avodah Zorah. And this was the rationale of David HaMelech too.
It's an Avodah to do it. You can't make a rationale for Kodesh Baruch Hu.
That's why I say don't try this at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah? For us to do what is called over here an Avera Lishmo is a really very, very risky. Right. And throughout the Dairus, we do find such an idea, that there have been people who have done an Aveira Lishmo, with differing results. But there is such a concept of an Aveira Lishmo. We find Tzolofchod, for example, that he was Oved Avodah Zorah, he was Machalal Shabbos, and Rabbi Akiva tells us he had a rationale. The Mekoshesh Eitzim, broke Shabbos on that first Shabbos, he had this rationale because they thought, anyway, we're not going into Eretz Yisrael, less din v'less dayan, there's no point keeping anything anymore. He said, you better wait, you watch out. Look what happens to me if I'm a Chalal Shabbos. So we do find such a precedent, and the Sforim HaKadoshim discuss it, but this is a really, really very high-risk strategy. But this is what the Arizal is telling us over here. This is what this Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Zayin and these Medroshim are telling us, that Aaron HaKohen over here was willing to sacrifice everything, even his Olam Habo, in order to protect the honor of Hashem and in order to protect Klal Yisrael, because otherwise Klal Yisrael would have killed the Kohen and the Novi. Okay, now what has this got to do with Horon?
Sorry, can also say that in all the cases, it was either a melech or a kohen or someone that had, the power to affect the whole Klal Yisrael, so it doesn't really...
Right. So what the very, very good point, that this is something that it was only these great people who had this very, very large influence that we see did this Aveira Lishmo, because they had some sort of a national calculation that was going on over here. Okay. Now, let's come back to Horon. How is this related to Horon? What did Horon do? So, Horon, on the one hand, he was willing to give up his life. Well, sort of, to serve Hashem. Horon, in the end, he paid the ultimate sacrifice, the almost ultimate sacrifice. He gave up his life. He went into the furnace. I don't know why people call it a fiery furnace. Like, every furnace is fiery. You don't really expect, it was one of those non-fiery furnaces. But anyway, they call it a fiery furnace, the Kivshon Ha'esh, yeah? So, Horon went into the Kivshon Ha'esh. He was Moshe Nefesh, or at least Moshe Guf. He gave up his life. But let's analyze what Horon did. If we try and split the atom over here, we see that there's the action and there's the intent. The Moshe that Horon did was epic. He gave up his life. He went into the furnace and was obliterated so as not to worship idols. On the other hand, he was just sort of picked the winner. He thought he'd follow whichever one. If Avram came out, okay, then he'll go in, and if not, not. So his intent was not really Sol Hashem Shomayim. He just wanted to be on the winning team. You see that Horon did a beautiful action, but he had a tainted intent. He did an act of Mesiras Nefesh, well, which we, what is commonly called Mesiras Nefesh at least, yeah? He gave up his physical life. The action was a great action, but his intent was flawed. Let's now compare that with Aaron HaKohen. What Aaron HaKohen did was something different. His act was a horrific act. It was a terrible act. It was an act of Avodah Zarah. However, his intent was a positive intent. His intent was to save Klal Yisrael from obliteration, from killing a Kohen and a Novi. So in this way, what Aaron HaKohen did was he linked to his earlier incarnation of Horon, and he was able to be masakin it. Because as opposed to Horon, who did an act which was a good act with a bad intent, Aaron HaKohen was able to flip this and to rectify this and be masakin this by now doing an act which was a terrible, terrible act. But his kavanah in doing this act of Avodah Zarah was completely dovuk b'shchinah, was totally, totally l'shem shomayim. So that is how he was able to be masakin it. What is the missing link? The missing link is this Aleph. How does the Aleph fit in? Somehow, because he had the Aleph over here, he was able to swing things around and bring everything Letzad HaToiv. In what way does this Aleph change things? So on a simple explanation is we can say that the Aleph represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he had HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interests in mind, and that would be one approach. But I saw the most fascinating approach in the Shavile Pinchos, Rav Pinchos Friedman, an incredible Marbetz Torah in Eretz Yisrael, a Belzer Chosid, the Chavrus of the Belzer Rebbe, one of the real Machadshei Torah Sachasidus in Ardoim, no doubt. So the Shavile Pinchos, in his explanation of this topic, he connected to Gemara in Chagigo Daftes. And the Gemara there says, an astonishing explanation of the Pasuk in Malachi, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. Omar le Barhehe le Hillel. Barhehe said to Hillel, my dechsev, please explain this Pasuk in Malachi. V'shavtem v'reisem, bein tzadik l'rosha. We'll be able to distinguish between the tzadik and the rosha. Bein oivid elokim l'asher lo yavodoy. To a person who serves Hashem, to someone who doesn't. Well, hainu tzadik, hainu ovid elokim. Surely a tzadik is the same as somebody who worships Hashem. Hainu rosha, hainu asher lo yavodu. A rosha is the same as someone who doesn't serve Hashem. Om bar alei, Hillel said to bar hei hei. Ovdu v'loy avodu, travayu tzadiki gemurinin hu. Ve'ein oidayme shayna pirkai, mea po'omem l'shayna pirkai mea ve'echot. He says there's a difference between these accolades over here, and these phrases between an Ovid Elokim, somebody Asher Lo Yavodoy, yeah, that both of them are tzadikim gemurim. When it's distinguishing over here, someone who serves Hashem and someone who doesn't serve Hashem, they're both types of tzadikim, but they're different types of tzadikim. Right? That you can't compare somebody who's Shoyne Pirkei, Meo Po'omim, someone who just does Chazor 100 times, L'shena pirkei mea ve'echot, to somebody who reviews his learning 101. And this is the difference between someone who really serves Hashem and somebody who doesn't. Now, the commentaries all discuss, you know, how are we supposed to understand this? Halavai, we would do the proper chazorah at least 4 times on our learning, let alone 100, let alone 101. If we knew somebody who every daf they did 100 times, we'd say they're mamish like the huge tzaddik, and there's someone who's lo yavodoy, not serving Hashem. How are we supposed to understand this Gemara? There are many approaches to this, but there's the approach of the Baal Shem Tov, quoted at the end of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, and also in the Machane Ephraim, quoting his grandfather Baal Shem Tov in his Drush to Purim Dibur Maskol Vayomer. And the Shvili Pinchos brings this explanation to help us to understand what is this Aleph in Aaron. He says like this. You know how the Baal Shem Tov explains this Gemara? He says like this. Somebody who does Chazora 100 times, it's very, very good, very, very nice, but you cannot compare it to somebody who chazes and he does Me'o Po'omim ve'echod. What is the echod? Right? Echod mi'yodea. Right? Echod is Hashem. If a person is learning and they're chazming again and again, but they're not thinking about Kadosh Baruch Hu, okay, you know, they've got Torah, it's very, very good. That's very good. But you can't compare to someone who does the same learning, Me'o Po'omim ve'echod, but they're thinking of Hashem. The echod yochid umayuchod. That is how the Baal Shem Tov explains this Gemara. It's not about a difference between learning it 100 times and 101. It's about you can learn it as much as you like, but if you forget the echod, then you're not on the madrega of a real Eved Hashem. And and the Sefer Pri Chaim of the Sefer Oirach Lachaim, the Machaber Oirach Lachaim on Pirkei Avos Perek Gimel, he brings from the Mezritch Magid this understanding of the Baal Shem Tov to understand a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mezritch Magid explains the Mishnah in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Ches, Kol Hashechech Tovor Echod Mimishnosoi, Malalov Akozov Gilu Mischayev Benafshoi. Somebody who forgets something of his learning, it's as though he's Chayev Nisa. Oy Vavoy, Hashem Yerachim. You know, we all wish that we remembered everything we learned all the way back since we were mitzvah, or at least all the way back since yesterday. We all wish we'd be able to remember all of our learning. But the Mishnah tells us, Kol HaShechech Dovor Echod Mimishnosoi, Malo Vakosav Gilo Mishchai Benafshi. If you forget Dovor Echod, then it's as though a person's Chayev Misa, says the Mezritch Magid. What does it mean? Kol HaShechech Dovor Echod Mimishnosoi. A person who's learning, but they forget the echod, they forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they're learning, and they're just doing it because they want to keep up with the other guy, or because they feel they have to do it. These things are all, you know, they're still okay, but we're not really getting what it is that ultimately we're supposed to be getting of Torah Lishma. So the echod over here is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Shvilei Pinchas. This is the difference between the Aron and Horon. The echod means that I'm doing something totally l'shem shomayim. The aleph over here means that I have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's interests in heart. Horon may have given up his physical life. He may have done an act that was a great act, but his kavono was not l'shem shomayim. Aaron, he fixed this and was able to be mesaken his original neshama of Horon by doing something so l'shem shomayim, even though the actual act was the most biggest avera chamura there could possibly be. But it didn't touch him. It didn't touch him because his whole kavana was l'shem shomayim. What was the difference? The difference was that he had the aleph. He was thinking of the echod. He was thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see similarly, just to start closing, there's a Noam Elimelech on the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem. Machshava tova mitzarefa lemaisa. That if a person has a good thought, HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects that to an action. Normally we understand this, that if a person, you know, you tried to do a mitzvah, you wanted to do a mitzvah, you had a cheshek to do a mitzvah, no, you weren't able to do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts that as though you've actually done the action. But if that's the case, it should have said, Machshava tova kemaisa, that a good thought is like a good deed. Why does it say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzarful a maisa? Hashem connects it to a maisa, says the name Elimelech. The same thing over here. If you have a good thought, and you have kavonis l'shem shomayim to do something, but you didn't manage. Somebody else did the mitzvah, but they didn't have a kavon l'shem shomayim. They didn't do a lishma. Hashem says the name Elimelech is mitzarful a maisa, that Hashem takes my good intent and the other person's maisa mitzvah and links them together. It's as though a mamish did the mitzvah because somebody else's mitzvah is attributed to me. And this is what's going on over here with Aaron HaKoyen, who was able, through his tremendous kavonos, to take the biggest aveira and that it shouldn't touch him one iota, and Ali Dezer, he was able to be matzil klal Yisrael. Aaron HaKoyen lives on. He lives on through all of the Kehanim, and his legacy lives on ad hayom hazeh because of his incredible machshavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that be'ezras Hashem we should all have beautiful machshavos tovos, machshavos tehoros, Hartzigen machshavas to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take all of these machshavas, and you don't know where they'll go. We have a good thought to help someone to do a mitzvah, we never know where this will go. And we see the power of a machshava tova. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We should have tremendous machshavas tovas and tohayreis, and just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Klal Yisrael back then, so too we should bring us tremendous bracha, gulos and yeshuos, befratu bechlal, we should be seichet to dance together in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, with Mashiach to Kenga from here.